Good morning. Is my mic coming through? Okay, great. Nice to be with you this morning. I want to, first of all, thank you as a church and for the individuals who support us at Refresh Ministries. We appreciate it very much. I'll just give you a little update about some of the things that are going on. So first of all, years ago, I put together this Refresh devotional book, 31 days to encourage people who are going through a lot of pressure and stress. Well, this week, I got the pictures from Pakistan. This has been translated into Urdu. And so 2,000 copies have been made, and they're going to be given out to pastors there. So I'm absolutely thrilled about that. And they're telling me that it'll be a great fit there simply because there's not a lot of resources for pastors that deal with the soul. And this will help. The other thing that's happening is last night I got the PDF or the first run at the translation of this. This is going to be going into Urdu as well. It's the Thrive Burnout Prevention and Recovery Tool. And so we're just going to do a final. We've got some missionary friends who speak Urdu who are going to give a little go over it to see how it looks. And then that, too, will be printed and given out. And these are being given out without cost. And we trust it'll be a great, great blessing. If you want to participate in that, we would still like to raise a few more funds for this second book. They cost $1 each. And we have, I'd prefer to just have funds designated for that rather than taking it out of general fund. If you would like to join in on that, that'd be great. Another thing that's happened in the last few weeks, we've started a podcast called Quick Tips for Christian Ministry. And you can find it on various platforms online, so you can just put that in, Quick Tips for Christian Ministry. And we'll be doing a weekly podcast, and you can check that out. There's a bunch of our radio things that we've done before already on there. And now we're starting to do a weekly input on that. There's some other things going on, of course, but also I do want to ask you to pray for me for wisdom and ability, as the demand for one-on-one kind of ministry right now is very high, especially at this. It just seems a season where a lot of missionaries are wanting to chat, and so you can pray for that as well. So I'm trying to rework my schedule so I can keep it all happening well, and keep a sane mind myself, so you can pray for me on that. I appreciate it very much. Well, my heart goes out to Pastor Dan. He is honoring his father today, and I'm glad to be here to speak for him and help him. Dan, by the way, is one of the most encouraged pastors that I know. He's excited about what God is doing among you, and so be encouraged with that as well. Well, I was going to speak on the theme of wear your own shoes, because the last time I was here, I noticed a lot of you were wearing other people's shoes. I'm just joking. But since it's Family Day weekend and it's Valentine's Day, I want to talk a little bit about a way that we can love, bless those people that we love. And so I'm going to invite you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're going to look at the first half of a story. And actually, if you have a really good memory, you will remember I spoke from this text last time I was here last summer. And just in case you're wondering, yes, that's the only story I've been looking at in Scripture since last summer. No, I'm joking about that. But I'm just going to look at the first half, and I've called my meditation this morning Hidden Dreams. When I realized it was Family Day weekend, Valentine's Day, I should talk a little bit on a theme of building into other people's lives with love. So let's pray, and we'll look at that scripture. Heavenly Father, you are a God who loves us beyond what we can comprehend, and we worship you as the God of infinite love, infinite grace, infinite forgiveness. We thank you for that. And now we invite you by the power of your Holy Spirit to guide this time and open our hearts to see and perceive what you have for us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading from verse 8 of 2 Kings chapter 4, and I'll read down through verse 17. One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there wherever he comes to, whenever he comes to us." One day Elisha came and he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her and she stood before him. Elisha said to her, "Tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" She replied, "I have a home among my own people." "What can be done for her?" Elisha asked. Gehazi said, "She has no son and her husband is old." Then Elisha said, "Call her." So he called her and she stood in the doorway. "About this time next year," Elisha said, "you will hold a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she objected. "Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant." But the woman became pregnant, and next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. Hidden dreams, two ways to bless those you love. About a year ago, just before COVID requirements set in, I had a chance to visit with my mom. My mom is quite elderly, and she had just recently been put into a new place where she was going to be cared for. And I had probably one of the best conversations I ever had with my mom. It was very open, very honest, and we talked about a lot of things. But one of the things she mentioned as we were visiting was that she's kind of been looking back at her life, and she was experiencing, I think, at that time, regrets. You had talked about forgetting the past and moving ahead, but she was looking back, and she was experiencing some regrets. And one of the things she regretted was that she didn't pursue her painting like she could. She, actually, this Christmas, my wife, got a picture frame that my mom painted that apparently, I found out later, my mom had been inspired by me being a pastor. It was a painting of sheep, but it's framed and it's in our house now. So she had a lot of skill. But she never was able to pursue it, to take it to another level like she dreamed, and didn't receive the encouragement, I don't think, and that dream died. It was a hidden dream. It was a hidden dream to me, at least, until she talked about it that day. In this text, we see this Shunammite woman who actually had two dreams. And we're going to talk about how people showed love to her and helped her reach those dreams. The first dream is in verses 8 to 10. And so she's a lady who has a heart for God. And she sees Elisha. She has Elisha in for a meal with them. And this becomes a regular pattern. And finally, she says to her husband, "Let's build a room for him so that whenever he comes by, he'll have a place to stay. There'll be a bed. There'll be a table. He can have his meditations, his prayers, a quiet place. He doesn't have to worry about where he's going to have to put his head down for rest that night. Let's do that." That was her dream. She wanted to bless. And this was what I would call a spoken dream. In other words, she said to her husband, in other words, she was willing to talk about this dream. She was willing to say, "This is what I have on my heart." I don't know about you, but there's dreams I don't mind talking about. There's dreams the people I love don't mind talking about. And this was one of those dreams that she was happy to talk about. What are the dreams on your heart? Do you have dreams? Well, This was a very acceptable dream. It was an honorable dream. It was a noble dream. It was a kingdom-minded dream. She wanted to bless Elisha and help the work of God. By the way, their culture at that time was totally given to other gods, to the place where they would name towns after the gods that they were worshipped. So it'd be like Baal Claremont. That way, you know, we're worried about how far culture has grabbed our world, but that was even another level. And so she is here. She's helping do her part to stand for the kingdom. And she has a dream. And her dream creates a better future for her, her husband, and Elisha. Victor Hugo said, there's nothing like a dream to create the future. I was listening about dreams last night, and this person was saying, everybody has a dream. I'll talk a little bit about them being buried, but said this person was saying, God often gives a picture of what he would like for us and what is on our heart. But this woman had a dream that would be a great blessing, and she pictured her mind forwarding the work of God, blessing this lead prophet at the time. She pictured times of fellowship, of encouragement, of strengthening, taking place in her house. The thing about this dream, and I think this is why she was willing to talk about it, is she realized there was resources available for this dream to take place. She talks to her husband. Her husband, I think, was a quite well-to-do farmer. If you read the context, you get the sense that he's a well-to-do farmer. She was certainly a well-to-do woman. It says, at least the NIV says, well-to-do. That means a person of strength, a person of nobility, a person of influence is the kind of person she was. And so this is a lady who had things well together. And she spoke of this dream. Now, it doesn't say, it doesn't give the conversation, doesn't give her husband's response, but we see as we read the story, he obviously affirmed that. And so he put the resources out there. They built this dream up on the roof. And Elisha would come and stay and be refreshed. By the way, you may not know this, but in Sexsmith, you may know Jonathan and Barb Sigelko, but they've developed their basement, a beautiful basement suite, and they call it Elisha's room. And that's set aside for people in ministry to come and stay. But they've put the resources to it. But this lady asked for her husband to help her. And her husband loved his wife by using his resources to help her realize her dream. You know, in our circles of the people we love, people have dreams. And they may even talk about them. And one of the ways we can love them is if we have resources, we can help them fulfill their dreams. Some of you have had dreams that people have helped you fulfill. Take a moment today to thank God for them. I thank God for my parents helping me. I had a dream to go to Bible school and be in ministry. My parents covered my costs for going to Bible school. It was a great start for me. But are there people in your circle that you love that have been talking about dreams? One of the ways you can love them is by providing resources, should you have them, to help them out. So you can bless people by helping them achieve their spoken dreams. But you can also bless people by helping them discover and fulfill their unspoken dreams. This is where it really gets interesting in this story for me. One day when Elisha came up to his room and lay down there, he said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can we do to you? Do for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? And she said, I have a home among my own people. Well, what's going on there? Well, Elisha is very smart about human relationships. Don't always be someone who takes, 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 and never gives, gives, gives. It's a two-way relationship here, and he wants to bless this lady that's been such a blessing to him. And so he asks, he gets Gehazi to call her and says, What can we do for you? In other words, and then he says, can I talk to the king about you or the commander of the army? These were the most powerful people in the land at that time. Elisha had friends in high places, and he was willing to leverage that to bless this lady. Well, that's quite an honor. And but this lady says, no, I have a home among my own people. What she's saying is, it's good. I'm good. I don't have any needs. I don't have anything that needs to happen in my life. I don't have any dreams that I'm, you know, worried about achieving, anything urgent that needs to be dealt with. Thanks for the offer, but I'm good. That's basically what she's saying, and she leaves. And we go on to read the story, and we see that actually the truth was she had a dream. She had a dream, but it was buried. And she wasn't going to talk about it. Determined to find out more, though, Elisha talks to Gehazi, and he digs a little bit farther and says, what's going on? What can we do for her? And that's when Gehazi says, she doesn't have a child, and her husband's old. But there was this dream that was hidden. She wasn't going to talk about it. And I have to tell you that as I go through life and I talk to people, even people in my own circle, I realize that a lot of people have buried dreams that may actually be God dreams for them. They've buried them. And this lady had buried her dream. She had buried this desire. And you probably know people who have buried desires, what they think are godly desires, and it's not about just getting whatever it is. It's a godly desire. And what I found is that people have covered their dreams with layers and layers and layers and layers of stuff. And so when you talk to them, you know what they say? I can't think of any dream. Or they say, I'm good. I'm good. Just like this lady. I'm good. It's all good. And she had a lot of things that were good in her life. Doing very well financially. I'm good. So what is it that we do to bury these God dreams that we have? What are some of those layers? I want to talk. We see some of the layers here in this text. The first one is, we cover our dreams with layers of misconceptions. Layers of misconceptions. Over the years, I've worked with a lot of people, and when I talk with them, there's just layers of misconceptions, and usually misconceptions about God. And so this lady, she had great capacity, great resources. She obviously had skills. She was, you know, she was a woman to be reckoned with. Yet she had some misconceptions. And I think maybe the misconception she was dealing with was this: I've been so blessed already, I can't believe that God will want to do more. And so you see her struggling with what God would do that for me. I don't know all the God stories that she had been told by Elisha, but if they've had all these times where there is a family, she's hanging out with Elisha and his servant and the husband, her husband there. You know, right before in the text, there's the story of the widow's oil, where this little bit of oil is turned into this huge, as it were, financial bonanza that meets this huge need. So she was no doubt heard all kinds of stories about the power of God. And yet, when it came to her dream, I don't think she believed that God would intervene. And you see her responding. It's just like, don't get my hopes up. God, she's kind of saying, God wouldn't do that. It's unspoken there, but it's kind of between lines. So we get these misconceptions of God. I think she believed, God has blessed me so much, why would he ever bless me beyond what I've already enjoyed? And, well, God is limitless in his grace and in kindness. So there's layers of misconceptions, and I tell you, I deal with this with people a lot. People who've been in ministry a long time come to me in their 50s, maybe their 60s, and we talk, and you realize misconceptions about God are driving how they live and how they see the world. There's another thing that layered her, the layers of impossibility. What could be done for her, Elisha said. Gehazi said, well, she is... has no son and her husband is old. In other words, this is just isn't going to happen physically. So we have a situation here where we have a young wife and an old husband, which is still very common today. When we were serving in Nigeria, a lot of the men couldn't get married until they were older because it took a long time just to get enough money together to actually be married. Maybe that was the case here, I don't know. We do a monthly teaching online, and I'm doing 10 laws of ministry from the life of Elisha, and one of the couples that joins us is from a country in Africa, and she's quite young, and he's quite old. It's interesting. So this is still going on today. But the layers of impossibility of this God dream had covered up. And maybe in her kindness, she didn't want to bring it up. Maybe it's going to be hurtful to her husband. I don't know. But the point was, the circumstances have made this dream impossible. And that layered. It was covered. Her dream is covered by layers of pain, of impossibility. Also, we cover it by layers of pain. No, my Lord, she objected. Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant. You could just see all of a sudden that it's starting to come out. She has had this desire for children, and it's not been happening. And no, it's don't even take me there. Don't even talk about this. Don't even get my hopes up. She's covered over the layers of pain. Some of our dreams, we don't talk about them. These unspoken dreams, we don't talk about them because the hurt and disappointment might be too much. Well, so this lady had a dream. One was spoken. Her husband had the resources, helped to reach it. One was unspoken, and it took some work to get there. So what do? When people you love have unspoken dreams and you kind of find out that these unspoken dreams look absolutely impossible, what do you do? Well, we get some insights here, a couple of things. First of all, I want to encourage Holy Spirit-led questions can help uncover the dream. To get to the dream, you may have to do some digging. They asked questions and that didn't get very far, and then there was observations that Gehazi had made, and through those questions and observations, all of a sudden, it's starting to emerge what that God dream actually was. I don't know, maybe on this Valentine's Day, you want to talk to your spouse about unspoken dreams. You may have to ask, you may have to observe. So the first thing is, try to discern what that dream is. Holy Spirit-led questions and observations can help you see what the dream is. Second, bring the power of God to the situation. Bring the power of God to the situation. Elisha said, call her. So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. The Lord gave him a word for her. Sometimes in life, God puts on our heart spirit-led words to share with someone. And one of the reasons preaching is important is God uses the word to speak to people. Sometimes God gives us a scripture to give to someone. Or a wisdom, a word of some kind. And Elisha got one of these words for her and said, a year from now, you're going to hold a son in your arms. And from that point on, God started to work. God started to work. The word of the Lord can give life to a dream, and sometimes God will put on your heart a scripture to share with someone. I'm not saying it happens often. I'm not saying it happens every day. It may happen more often for you than for me. But the word helps us get to the dreams God has for us. Hebrews 11 says, by faith Abram, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. In other words, Abram had got a word from God. God himself. And so, from this one man, and he as good as, what does this Hebrew say about Abram? He was as good as? He was as good as dead. The word of God was so powerful, it brought life. Sometimes people have said a word to me that has brought life to a dream. One time, as elders, when I was pastor, we were asked to go pray for someone. The doctors were saying they might have about 3 months to live. I think it was about that, if I remember the time frame right. And so we as elders went and prayed, and I'm kind of coordinating the service there, the little prayer service, and I was looking at my pastor's manual to see what's a good scripture to end this with. And the pastor's manual gave two options. One was more of a, God will give you grace to go through this. And the other one was more, God's going to intervene and do something powerful here. And I'm sitting there, because I felt inclined to mention the second one. Something in my spirit was saying, mention the second one. I'm sitting there, God, you know what that really is saying when I read that. But I sensed the Lord would have me give that word. And I read that scripture at the close. And one of the elders came to me after and said, that was quite a scripture you mentioned there. And I said, yeah, that was. I knew what was on the line. But you know, that happened around 20 or so years ago. That person, as far as I know, is still alive today. It was the word of God to that moment. And the Lord may give us words for people who have a God dream. So invite the power of God through mentioning a word. If God gives you a word, just say it. Say it humbly. Say, as far as I could tell, this is what the Lord was putting on my heart to tell you. You don't know what it'll do. A second way we invite God into the situation is through our prayers. This story doesn't mention Elisha praying at this point, but the story goes on. This child, this child grows up and one day gets sick and dies, and it is Elisha's call to the scene. It's through his prayers this boy is raised back to life. Again, God was brought in through prayer. We have people in our lives who have God dreams, and we can see no way of ever seeing that happen. What do? Well, if he gives us a word, we give that word, but we also pray and invite God in. I draw your attention to Luke chapter 1, verse 5 and 13. In the time of Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. So here we have another one of these impossibilities. And Elizabeth, who's had this God dream of having children, can't. And it's too late. The years have come and the years have gone. Well, Zechariah goes off to the temple to work, and then the angel shows up. And Zechariah is startled and gripped with fear, but the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah." Anybody remember that phrase? "Your prayer has been heard." Last night I went and looked up, what's the tense of this "your"? Was it him and his wife praying? It's third person singular. In other words, he's saying to Zechariah, it's you, the husband, who's been praying for his wife's dream, whose prayers has been heard. Interesting. Through his prayer, God was brought in. Your prayers have been answered. We invite God's power into our loved ones' dreams with the word and prayer. Divine power can bring seemingly impossible dreams to reality. And so I want to say to you, this Valentine's Day, this Family Day weekend, you can bless those you love by helping them realize their godly dreams. The Shunammite's husband helped her with the dream that he had resources for, and he put resources to that. And Elisha helped her with her dream only God had the resources for. And so he brought God into the situation. On this Family Day weekend and on this Valentine's, who are the people in your circle that you love? Maybe talk to them about their dreams. Have you been listening to what their dreams are? Have you heard godly dreams coming out of them? And then you might want to go a little deeper and say, are there godly dreams you have that you're even afraid to talk about? Spoken dream, unspoken dream. God answered both of her dreams in a beautiful way. Well, I just thought I'd put that out there. Because sometimes I find so many people are living with dreams that are layered over. And I don't know, I can't wave a magic wand, but I could say to you that when I look at Scripture, God is able to intervene, and here's an example. And so that's what I offer to you. Bless those you love by helping them realize godly dreams. Happy Valentine's Day.